Yeah, it's good to see everyone out this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. We want to welcome you at every opportunity that you have to come and worship with us. It's good to have Bill and Anita have been coming for a while and visiting with us and saying they're moving from Colorado over this way, and it's good to see that they made it over here safely. Getting to meet Ron and Marge this morning. They moved here from Georgia. So take some time to be able to get to know those folks as well. Our other visitors, I'm not trying to overlook anybody, but wanting to express our thanks for you taking your time, investing your time in coming to assemble with us this morning. And this morning, Brother Ed read for us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, down to verse 58. And what we want to look at, I had this lesson. It was a requested lesson. And thinking about it as well, we had done a lesson on the third heaven and a few weeks ago. And then kind of continuing our thought on heaven, we want to look at after death, then what? And Paul writes about this over 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 down to verse 58. You know, there are many questions about heaven. One is, what will happen? Will we recognize others? How about my family? What about those who have not passed away yet? You know, some different types of questions. We want to examine some of these questions this morning. Because we might be thinking about it. Because there is a sure fact that one day we're all going to face this question. We're all going to face death. And we need to prepare. And we can remind ourselves and look at the scriptures as well about this preparation. But also trying to answer some other questions that some might have. And we want to talk about this morning. You know, first of all, you think about it with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 down to verse 58. Paul mentions it on a few different times and occasions in his writing here. And he says that we will be changed. And Paul points this out in our text. That we indeed, will be changed. As Paul writes, he says, there will be people who have not yet died, but will be changed. There are people who, as we read here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There will be people who have not yet died, but will be changed in the last day. And again, as Paul writes, that's when the Lord will return. Because he writes and continues on in verse 52. In that moment, in an instant moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. There's coming a day when that trumpet, so we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 a little bit later on. But as we look there, it mentions, Paul mentions about how this trumpet will sound. There is coming a point where time will be no more. We're going to look at this verse a little bit later on in 2 Peter. So you can kind of keep memorized there. We're going to be going there in just a little bit. But there's going to be a time when the earth will no longer be in existence. There's going to be a time when the earth, the heavens, will melt with fervent heat. As we look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. When that time comes, there's not going to be anything left on this earth. There's not going to be, it's all going to be gone away with. It's going to happen real quick as we read here. And what else does Paul say? Our bodies, our physical bodies, will no longer be in existence, but we will be changed. If you look at verse 53 and verse 54 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You know, as we think flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What does it mean? The physical nature. There are physical bodies that we have right now. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God with flesh and blood. But we are going to be changed for those that are faithful. You know, as we look back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, we look at the creation. We look in the very beginning. When Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, here it was, they had sinned. They had been told they were going to be kicked out of the garden. I said, you're going to die. And here's the reason why. You know, God said in verse 19, in the sweat of your face, Genesis 3, verse 19, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Our physical bodies are made of temporary elements. The body breaks down, the body decays. We're created from dust, is what God can breathe into us, the breath of life. But our soul, if you think about this idea of we're going to be taken, our soul, we can't see our soul. Right? We can't see with our eyes. Our soul is eternal. When we change, we're going to put away this physical body and put on our spiritual body. We're going to be able to go and look at this and be able to plan it. When we are going to be judged at the last day, our soul is eternal. In Psalm 30 and verse 3. We read a little bit more about this. Psalm 30 and verse 3. Psalm 30 and verse 3. It says, O Lord, O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Our soul is eternal. Brought up from the grave is what David was writing here, saying here. You kept me alive not to go into a place of punishment. Our soul is eternal as we look at these last, and when we are putting away our old life, our physical body, our soul is still lasting. Question, where will our soul be? When we change, when we put on put away the flesh and blood, put off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible, we put on this spiritual body, we have this different form on ourselves, where will our soul be? A choice of, place of torment, a place of paradise, a place, we see that there are different, there are two different options. It's cut dry, it's pretty cutthroat dry. Where we have the choice of being able to know where our soul is going, and we can be able to act upon it. We got to respond now to prepare where our soul will be. You know, we talk about this idea of being changed a little bit more. You know, again, we can understand we're going to put away the physical body, but what about our existence? What's it going to be like? Well, you know, we look at Christ being transformed over in Mark chapter 9. I want to draw your attention there to the verses that are pointing out about Mark and or about his Jesus' transformation in Mark. Just because there's a little bit of different description with some of this. I want to go there. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 down to verse 8. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 down to verse 8. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, let's look down to verse 8, it says, and he, speaking to Jesus, and Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining and exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid, and a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly they looked no more around and saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with himself. Again, looking at the transfiguration, I want to just point out just a couple different things. Jesus transfigured, and the description of it is, his clothes became shiny, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten it. When Christ was transformed, he was exceedingly white. He took on a different, you know, again, we're talking about a transformation of ourselves. We're talking about this bright light, and we're going to talk more about that later on. But in Revelation 21, verse 3, there's the place that God has set forth, as we read. A place that he set forth where there's no need of the sun or the moon to shine in, because the Lamb is like, Jesus was transformed, he was transfigured on that, and we see he was exceedingly bright white. And again, that Lamb is the light that we need in our life. You know, again, when we talk about, we're going to be changed. Christ was transfigured before those apostles, before Peter, James, and John. We're going to be transformed in that last day where we are going to change, putting off the physical body, standing before God. And we have a place where we can go. And we have the choice of how we can prepare. And we're going to talk more about that throughout this lesson. But let's continue on. You know, there's a question that we might ask ourselves. Will we recognize others when we pass away? You know, I want to kind of answer that question in looking at some, in using some scripture, trying to answer this a little bit more. Will we recognize others? I want to go back to the Old Testament. If you go back to 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, I want to begin there in chapter 12, in verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. We read the story about David and Bathsheba. We read and study about what had happened there. Then we read about the son that Bathsheba had by David. And that son became sick. Then we see, you know, there's promised to be, well, this child is going to die. David's mourning for him, fasting for him. And verse 23, look at what he says. He says, my child, he is dead. Why should I fast? I will bring him back again. Or can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know, David's mourning his son. And pointing out some things about how he was fasting, or, you know, what the child's dead. But one day, I'm going to look forward to trying to be joined to him once again. David knew that he could not return to him, or his son would not return to him anymore in this life. But I will be joined to him in the afterlife. One day, I'm going to see my son at some point again. You think about this as well over in Matthew chapter 17. You know, we look at Jesus being transfigured on that, and I want to look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 3. It's just interesting here. You know, Jesus, when he was transfigured, who was with him? In Matthew 17, verse 3, he says, Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter, James, John, they saw this. Who was with you? Who was with? Well, we got Moses, we got Elijah. What happened to them? Years, hundreds, thousands of years ago, both these individuals have died. But there's recognition of these individuals, Moses and Elijah, being there with Jesus, and these people they've read, and Jesus read, and Peter did. They recognize them. We continue on. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. I'm just using some of these different verses, kind of pointing out some different things. But Matthew chapter 26 and verse 29. Matthew 26, verse 29 says, I say to you, and Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What did Jesus promise? We'll partake of this fruit of the vine in my Father's kingdom. What's going to happen? There's going to be a transformation. We're no longer going to have our physical bodies. We're going to die one of these days. So I'm going to drink, Jesus said, I'm going to drink it with you. There's going to be recognition. There's going to be some sort of recognition on the matter. I mentioned we would go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but let's go over there now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 down to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 down to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 down to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 down to verse 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Again, Paul writing about Christ coming again. We look, Paul pointed out some of the things that, things are going to happen. The trumpet of God's going to sound. That's going to be the end of it all. That's when the earth and the heavens will be, and there will be a new heaven, new earth place where righteousness dwells. But he says in verse 17, those who are alive, those who remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. There's going to be this. We're going to be able to meet once again. Those who have passed on previous to us, we're going to be called up together. We're going to be drawn together. For those that are saved, we're going to be come up together in the cloud and be joined to them with those who have passed on from the church. We ask, there should be some sort of recognition taking place with this. There are some notices in the Bible pointing out recognition in heaven. And what we can point out, what we know, is that it's going to be a joyous day. Being with those who are saved. Being with those who are joined up in that cloud together. But let's think about it a little bit more. What about those, for those that have passed on, is there some sort of concern? What about those who have not yet passed on, having died yet? What about people that are living here? Are there people that have already passed on before us? Are they concerned about us? Let's try to answer that question. And I want to look over in Luke chapter 16. Because the circumstances right now, we're going to talk about that, the circumstances are different right now. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 down to verse 31. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. We're going to talk about reading about the rich man and Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19 down to verse 21. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. They said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes for them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. You know, we have two classes of people here, two different social classes. We got one that's a beggar, got the other that's a rich man, different social classes. One was carried to Abraham's bosom. The other was important. You know, you read this as well. Abraham had already passed on when Jesus was teaching this. There's recognition, you know, kind of going back with our left. There's some recognition there. But I want to note more about the rich man in this text this morning. You know, he's suffering. He just wants a drop of water to be able to cool him in that torment. Notice what he wanted for his family. He wanted them to be saved. He did not want them where he was. To send someone from the dead to be able to teach them, to be able to help them. You know, there's that concern factor that this man had died and he was concerned over his, didn't want his family to be in. I don't want my brothers down here with me. Send someone from the dead, they might be able to help them. So there, as we look at this, those that pass, they're concerned for us. You know, we think about it as well, the other side of it. We read about when one is saved, that one that was lost is now found. Remember what the angels in heaven are going to be doing? What are they going to be doing? They're going to be rejoicing over the fact that one more has repented, over one more that has been saved. There's that concern factor. While we're still living, there are people that are concerned over our soul, both here, both in the afterlife. They're concerned for our well-being. But what about after death? What about after death? We can talk about this in different ways. I mentioned we would go back to 1 Peter. Let's go back, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. And we also want to consider verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 13. It says here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. There's coming a time and day when the earth and the works that are in it, the heavens, will all be burned up and no longer be in existence on this physical earth. But verse 13, it says, Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There's God's going to create a place, a home. You know, we think about this. We look at verse 13. He's creating a place for us to dwell. And that's what we're looking at. A new place for us to be able to dwell. Jesus went and prepared a place for us. When that day comes, when the Lord is sent again, the heavens and the earth will be burned up. But God and Jesus has created a place where righteousness will dwell. When that happens, when we either face death or the Lord returns, when that day happens, there will be a change, as we talked about earlier. And when that change happens, there will be no more opportunities for us to correct our ways. Remember the rich man. What happened? He died. What was he told after he died? Where you are, you're going to be. You can't go back. You can't go different places. You can't travel back and forth. When you die, and you're in a place of rest or a place of torment, that's it. After death, there'll be no more crying. We look over in Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. After death, there will be no more crying. There will be no more pain or suffering. But what will happen is we will be judged. We will be judged on that last day. If you go back just one chapter to Revelation 20 and verse 11, look down to verse 15 with me. Revelation 20, verse 11, down to verse 15. It says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead and who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. After death, we will be judged. We will stand before God. Anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast away. There will be no other chances when that day comes. And it goes against popular belief. There's some that will believe that once we die, we still have opportunity. The Bible doesn't teach. The Bible says once we die, that's it. That's why we've got to take care of ourselves now. Because again, as we read in Luke 16, verse 26, as we read a few moments ago, the rich man and Lazarus, they could not pass from where each one was. There was a great gulf fixed. Can't go over here where Lazarus was, but go over here where the rich man was. Where you will be is where you will be. You know, there's going to be classifications of people. You got to say. You got to condemn. And we can compare both. For instance, the saved are going to be in the light. If you read that, if you're still there, Revelation 21, verse 23, stay right there, and then we'll go over to Matthew. But Revelation 21, verse 23, again, it says, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in, for the glory of God illuminated, the Lamb is its light. Those that are saved are going to be able to witness that light. The fact that there's no need, you know, we can't, it's hard for us to comprehend. Because we got the sun, we got the moon in our day, in our night. But Christ, God has prepared, Christ would prepare a place for us. God's prepared a place through His Son, a place where we don't need that. The glory of God is light enough. And we can be in that light. Again, the other side of it, as we just take a comparison, over Matthew 25, verse 30. You've got to be found in the light or in darkness. In Matthew 25 and verse 30, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, you go down in different places, dark places. People do their deep sea diving. You get so far down in the ocean, all of a sudden you can't see anything. You can't see in front of you. I've been down to the Missouri caverns, kind of winding our way through those caverns and everything. Light becomes less and less, to the point where you can't see anything. There's a place of prepare, or it's just complete darkness. After death, you have a choice of wanting to be in the light or in darkness. In the afterlife, you can be found with others that are faithful or with others that are condemned. If you go back to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. Jesus says here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. He first of all says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus is willing to confess our name before God. If He is willing to do that, we can be able to have a place of rest. We're willing to do our part in His kingdom. We can be with the saved. We'll be with others who have that same opportunity, who have had their name confessed before their Father in heaven. Jesus doing that for us. Verse 33, though. "Whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." You have the choice. After death, you can either be with ones that are found faithful, or you can be with others that are condemned. You go back to Matthew 25. Again, look with me there. Matthew 25. You have the choice of being in a place of joy or, again, a place of crying and suffering. Matthew chapter 25, if you look at verse 21 and verse 23, they both read the same thing. Got the gentleman with the 10 talents, and you got another one with a few less talents. And it says here, or the one has 5 talents, I'm sorry, and 2 talents. Verse 21 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." There's joy in the Lord. There's a place of joy that we can rest eternally. Or again, we read verse 30 once again. "Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." A place of crying, a place of suffering. You have the choice. You have the choice of choosing which place. Again, we're all going to face death one day. That's why today you ask the question, which spot are you in? Where are you? As we have the opportunity right now this morning, we need to prepare our life. And we can prepare for one or the other. You can either go with the saved, where Jesus went prepared, or a place of condemnation. We're going to be changed one day. And you have that choice of being in a place of rest or a place of torment. That day is coming. Will you make yourself ready now? The invitation is open for those that need to make their life right with God. Maybe you've not yet obeyed Jesus Christ. You're ready to prepare for that life. You're ready to prepare. Because after death, what's going to happen? Well, the Bible does point it out to us a little bit. And I hope we are able to grasp a little bit of that more this morning. That's why it's important for us and needful for us to prepare now by obeying God. teaching the class this morning, we got to listen to God. We got to follow God. Into the class in the back. We got to follow God. We got to listen to what He says. If you're ready to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism, and you're ready to make your life right with God, we'll be glad to assist you and help you in those efforts this morning. Maybe you realize that you have fallen away from God and need to have your soul restored, and you're wanting to prepare to be with those that are found faithful, with those that are saved, be found in the light, be found in a place of joy. And you're ready to repent of your sins this morning and turn back to the fold of God. We'll be glad to offer prayers with you and for you this morning. Or maybe you just need prayers of encouragement. Knowing that it can be difficult, knowing that we do have these obstacles in our life, knowing that we need those prayers of encouragement to continue to help us face those everyday battles. Maybe you need those prayers this morning. We'll be glad to offer those too. Whatever the case may be, if anyone that is subject to the invitation needs to make their life right with God or need to continue to remain faithful to God, need those prayers of encouragement, we'll be glad to assist you. We'll be glad to pray for you. All you have to do this morning is let me know how we can assist you, how we can help you. You can have a seat on the front. You can do it now while together, while we stand and while we sing. Amen.